Many people, certainly not everyone, like the idea of sharing decisions about suggested treatments or tests with their doctor or health professional. But making a rational choice depends on lots of things, including the available evidence, but also the subjective perception of the balance of benefits versus harms. Two experts in shared decision-making, Chris Del Mar and Tammy Hoffman at Bond University and the University of Queensland, decided to look for what other researchers had found were patients' beliefs about the benefits and harms of clinical care, such as tests, screening and treatments. To do that, they had to look through a mind-boggling 12,000 scientific papers. Chris Del Mar.
We found that overall, people overestimate the benefits of clinical management and underestimate the harms of it.
To what extent, Tammy?
Well, we weren't able to actually put a size on it. All we could identify was that it's more than half of the people answering the questions thought that they were going to get more benefit from the intervention than the evidence suggests they will, or that they would get less harm than what the evidence suggests they will.
So did you calibrate this against what they were told before they had the treatment or test?
So what we actually were interested in this study was people's natural expectations. So we actually wanted them uninfluenced or unbiased by anything a clinician had specifically told them.
Chris, give me some tangible examples of where expectations can be really out of kilter with what the real situation is.
There were a lot of studies done on cancer screening. This was the area in which people more likely overestimated the benefits and more likely underestimated the harms. Breast cancer screening, cervical cancer screening, bowel cancer screening, and prostate cancer screening.
What do we know are the dimensions of the benefits versus harms?
The reality is that there are benefits for screening for most cancers. There's some doubt about prostate cancer. The harms have been less well documented, things like unnecessary operations and, more subtly, unnecessary labels. In other words, we detect a lot of people with cancers who may never have been bothered by those cancers throughout their whole life, but who then have to live their life with this horrible, you know, the label of cancer. And that harm has been much more difficult to balance out.
And Tammy, I assume the unreasonable expectation here is, in, if you're going to choose breast cancer, is that you will never die of breast cancer if you screen.
That's right. So people thought that the proportion of breast cancers that would be detected by screening was much, much, much higher than it really was.
And treatments, Chris?
Inflammatory bowel disease, that's Crohn's disease and the like. Hip replacements, joint replacements. Again, people got overestimates of the benefits of that. And then some of the cardiovascular disease things. So one of them was being resuscitated if you had a cardiac arrest.
So people were more optimistic than the actual outcomes?
Yeah, the outcomes aren't awfully good.
So this is really people's expectations walking into the clinic. Do we know anything right about what influences people to make a more rational decision?
Well, obviously, if you want people to know the correct information, you've got to tell them. We didn't do an assessment of how effective this educational stuff was, but it makes us realise that for any clinician, it's really important that you appreciate that the patient coming in for your particular form of clinical management probably overestimates the benefits and underestimates the harms of what it is that you're about to propose. And so it then falls on your responsibility to make sure that they are adequately informed, something that we often take for granted. We kind of assume that people know, even with really simple things like using antibiotics for an upper respiratory infection, we kind of assume that people have some idea of the pros and cons. This couldn't be further from the truth.
And presumably then, if you're having a hip replacement, knowing that the rehabilitation path might be a bit tougher than you imagine.
Absolutely. We have to be very careful not to oversell what we're proposing.
So what would be the implications for the health system and individuals if expectations were more realistic going into having such tests and treatments? I mean, would people choose not to have them?
Yes. For example, with prostate cancer screening, once people are fully informed, a lot of men say, oh, I don't think I want this test. And that's probably true of a lot of other interventions as well. That actually causes a problem for some clinicians. So, for example, I know of some breast cancer physicians who are very keen to promote breast cancer screening, are very worried about telling people about the realities of what happens. They say to me, oh, but then fewer people will come and get screened and some people will die as a consequence. And that's probably true. But we need to actually make sure that it's the patient that decides that and not us in some paternalistic frame of mind. Shared decision making is the process of explaining to patients what the options are, the pros and cons of each of those options, and then helping the decision be shared between both clinician and patient together.
There seems to be, from a lot of the studies that we read, this vicious cycle happens where a lot of times patients go into a consultation with a particular expectation of receiving a certain intervention, and that clinicians often prescribe or give that intervention purely because of the expectation. So there's some studies in the US showing that up to a third of clinicians report providing an intervention purely because the patient requested it, not because they believed it was clinically necessary. So when that happens, you get this feedback cycle where the patient receives the intervention, reinforcing their belief that it was necessary in the first place, and on it goes. So breaking that cycle, either by the clinician explaining the evidence for the intervention, or the patient asking, what is the likelihood of me getting benefit or harm from this? Otherwise, it's just going to keep perpetuating itself.
Tammy Hoffman is a clinical epidemiologist at Bond University and the University of Queensland, and Chris Del Mar is Professor of Public Health at Bond University. And you can find a reference for that paper on the Health Report's website. And you have been listening to the Health Report with me, Norman Swan. Next week, some great stories about your heart and the differences between men and women. Don't miss it, and I'll see you then.